Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also, seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth, two by two they went into the ark, to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark of Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth. And all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days.
Any thoughts?
Is there any significance about the timing? It says on the 17th day of the second month of his life. Is that significant, or is it just...
Yes, I've got a slight idea about what it is. I know that's significant. If anybody got any information on that, I've looked at the research, and I know it is a very, very important date, but I have not been able to nail it down to anything of prophetic. There probably is something very prophetic about it. Yes?
Well, I think one reason it's there, it could just be simply to say that this actually did happen. Because a lot of people in our day and age want to believe that this story is just an allegory or a myth.
Right.
But you don't have an anniversary, so to speak, of an allegory or a myth. You only have anniversaries of a historical event that actually occurred.
Yeah. That could be good. Anybody else got any ideas? Oh, put your hand up there for a minute. Oh. I was hoping. All right. I was thinking an awful lot recently.
Richard?
Oh, Jeff.
Just a thought, perhaps, is that with the idea that, you know, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the fact this is happening in the second month, and you might think of the time of the Exodus, that as they're kind of moving through and that they went through the sea and everything else like that, that would be in the back of their minds, having been told it from a child, that just as God had protected the family of Noah through this, that perhaps he would be protecting Israel through all what they would experience.
The only other thought that I have heard, which I'm not quite sure I understand the thinking, was this would have been an indication of not Noah, but of Shem, a very important date in the life of Shem, because Shem would have been at least 100 years plus old at this point in time. And so it may have a reflection upon him and the timing from his place forward. But I have not found enough data to back it up. That's just an idea. It sounds cool. But I have really no connection. And if it is to do with the relationship to Shem, then that may have another prophetic statement that's later down the line. Yes?
Just an interesting thought occurred to me, Richard. What would your position be on the time of the year? Now, it says the second month, but it's that's before the Passover when God had said to... So it could very well be December, January. I mean, it could be actually September, October, November.
It could be any time.
It could be November, because they say that, well... There's rabbinic teaching that God created the earth at the Feast of Tabernacles.
On the seventh.
Feast of Trumpets. Yeah,
On the seventh month.
It could be. I'm just wondering if the time of the year, right? Because it's prior to the spring being the time of the year. We would think of it the second month as being...
They're right.
Right?
But again, it's still of his birth year, not of the annual year.
Right.
If you read it.
Yeah.
It's the second month of
his
year.
All right.
See, it depends on when he was born.
But I just wonder what time of the year.
Sure, but it's also...
Well, that's, they don't, on the other hand, we have to look back on how history would have been written, even if there was a specific timing. Because it's written by the priesthood, they would have more than likely would have labeled it on what the beginning of the new year would be in the springtime.
Okay.
That's my personal thinking. But once again, it's a very fascinating date. It has to do, I know it's in the life of Noah and his years, but it has to behave in one way as the beginning of another era of time. And we'll get into that era of time in a minute. Before I do, there's an awful lot of thoughts and comments about this particular chapter, and a lot of negative commentary about it, an awful lot of positive commentary about it. But before I get there, I want to ask, I guess sometimes I want to ask you people some questions. Believe it or not, do I ask questions? Are you learning anything? Not that you're not learning. I mean, what I'm saying is that when I present these things, and I look at it in a very methodical method. I look at words, and I look at statements, I look at things, and sometimes it may not have a reflection upon your personal and private life at this particular point in time. Hope that what I've been able to do is just give you information of what is written. And I hope this much that it will solidify something really inside of you, and that is that the Word of God is true, even though I go in minute detail. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about an awful lot of spiritual things, how one is saved, and the life and the death of the Messiah, and the wonderful things he did. I'm looking because most of you already know that. Right?
Right.
And so, if there are other people who do a lot better job than I do when it comes to a lot of things. But today, I just wanted to let you know that most of why you people are here, I hope, is because you kind of find it interesting to find out little bits of information. And though it's not necessarily going to make a change in your life today or tomorrow, it's just a helping, which I hope it is, a helping of a building of what the Word of God is more and more in you, that it cannot be removed. Because I'm a strong believer that when Yeshua said that man must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, I begin to look very carefully at every word and try to figure out what is it talking about. So that's my open statement here. So I want to make sure that I'm not a preacher person, more of a teacher type like person. I want to go now. What is it that God said to Moses?
Moses or Noah?
I mean Noah. See? She's got the words right. It's Noah, if you know it now. What did he say?
Come into the ark.
Because you are the only, you alone are righteous in this generation.
All right, now we're going to get some words here. This is a very powerful statement. And what is it that you think of? First of all, let's just look at one word. What do you think of the word generation?
Those that are alive at the time.
Years.
Sorry, what?
Generation, you taught us not too long ago that generation is actually 100 years.
Okay. Any other comments? No, I'm asking this question. I'm not going to tell you what it means yet.
To me, it seems that it's that he's righteous among his contemporaries. Because we talk, in some ways, when we talk about generation of, oh, my generation, you know, or when people say, well, in my generation, in my day, we did this and this and this. It's more of that, you know, among his contemporaries, among those who would have known of him, he was the most righteous of anyone that he could have chosen for the job.
It's more ideological than it is chronological, because you'll see it all throughout the prophets talking about this wicked generation, this and that and the other. Well, we're talking about wicked people who are old, people who are young, this and that and the other. These are just people in a certain condition.
Okay.
And if you think about kind of the root term of it, it's to mean people who are spawned out of. They are spawned out of wickedness. They're spawned out of righteousness. These are people who are spawned out of a certain
interesting, interesting way of viewing that. That's fascinating. Okay. I find sometimes we think of in our English language, all right, we think of it in those terms. But in the Hebrew, it's a different concept.
The generation?
Yes. And it has nothing to do with descendants. Because in here, he uses the word the descendants as well as he uses the word generation. Now, in Hebrew, the word does not refer to anything except this, a period of time. So a generation is not 100 years. Generation is not 1,000 years. Generation is a period of time. Now, at this particular statement, he has said, this generation, this period of time, in Hebrew, dor, D-O-R, means a period of time. So he's found in this period of time, he has found one family of Noah. He found them to be upright and obedient unto him. Now, generation, now look, explain what I'm saying about generation. So we need to kind of look at it because it is not what we think it is. Now, even in Greek, all right, when they use the words in the New Testament, and he says, they call them, sometimes in your English Bible, they say the worlds. And that Greek word is not talking about worlds, is it? Aeon. Or, and it says, he is the creator of the aeons, the times, or the ages. It is the creator who establishes ages. It is the creator who establishes generation. And in each generation, or each period of time, it will last according to his count and not anybody else's count. I'll go through some words here today so you can kind of give a little bit of picture of what I'm trying to refer to. Because the word really has more to do with the revolution of time. Time starts, and it comes to a complete circle and ends. A new time starts, comes to a complete circle and ends. It's a revolutionary part, revolving part. It's like the globe, and it revolves around itself, around, right, son? And it's called a time, and it actually generates one day, and another day generates, and another day generates. It's a period of time. So that's why you think about this word in that realm. Because if we do this, we can kind of figure out a little bit more of what the Messiah was referring to when he said what he said. What's very important in the book of Noah is, because the Messiah said, pay attention. Pay attention to what happened at Noah's time. Now, we already went through chapter 6. But I want you to explain here to look at a period of time, a sequence which has been set in motion. Everything that God has ever done, it has a cycle or a cycle, a repeating thing. Every Sabbath is a repeating thing. All the holidays are repeating things. Every new moon is a repeating things. Every day is repeating things. Every year is repeating things. So it's a complete period of a cycle. We talk a year or years. And we talk about the, you might say, the age of, yes, right, the age of Aquarius. Okay, I mean, the age of, the age of what we call the Stone Age, right? Or we call it
Iron Age.
Iron Age, and what's the other phrase?
Bronze Age.
All that kind of, doesn't mean anything except a period of time, which has, in man's counting of time, can vary all over the place, right? Now, does when God establishes a period of time or a generation of time, what does he do? He establishes it on a precise order. He is not the author of confusion. You understand so far what I'm saying? It's very important to pay attention to this word generation because it helps us to understand where we're going from here. There are certain very important things that have happened in this particular area. Let's go to Genesis, the 9th chapter, verse 12. And I'll use this word. Genesis 9, verse 12. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Plurality here now. Not single, but plurality. So perpetual this time. And this time, and this time, he's got times. He's got periods of events. Now, God does everything according to what? His plan. We'll see that, I hope, today, and to understand some things. So if we get this thing into our minds, let's go to Genesis, the 17th chapter. It has to do with Abraham. And I'm going to read this for a moment. We'll just read it there. Genesis, the 17th chapter, and verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. So there are periods of time in the history of the descendants of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Now we kind of know what those periods are. We kind of look at them. We know there is a period of what? Just guess some of them. So I'm sorry, what?
Period of waiting on the Lord. Wait.
Okay.
Slavery.
Yeah, that was a set period of time when God said to Abraham, your descendants will be, and it gave a period of time. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have set them in a generation, and the generation is going to be in a period of time. Them being down in Egypt was a specific, precise number. We won't go that today. Now, what else is a period of time? Within that period of time, by the way, what happened before they went into Egypt? There's a period of time that took place. What was it? 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. This is what I'm talking about. This generates a period of time. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there are times within inside the times. But to get to the point where I want to get today, I want you to think about those things as we go on. Even also in the ninth verse there, it says, God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant before thee, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Period of times. Now we know that all of Israel didn't, the descendants didn't really keep. But there's a period of times when they did. Those period of times are very important. We will not go through that today. When we get, God grants me sometime in the future, I will try to get there. All right, so I just want to get this point into your mind. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, a very famous one, right? Now, I've heard an awful lot of statements. And we'll still get to the word generation. Just give me time. I want to read this point first so we get this period of time, because it has everything to do with our age or our period of generation. All right? Matthew chapter 24, verse 34. We all know what it says. Verily, verily, I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And we think, because of age, 70, is a generation. No, it's not. It's a period of time. And it's a recorded period of time. It's a precise period of time.
Is that why it says, I will be with you to the end of the age?
Correct. End of the generations, plurality. He's going to be there to the end of the generations. Why? Because that was the plan of God in the very beginning. We'll see. In the book of Noah, hopefully we'll be able to see this picture. All right? And he said, now, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But that day and hour knows no man. No, not the angels in heaven, or but my Father only. What he means is, no one knows the generation, how long it lasts, when, and even specifically when it's going to occur. But it's only the Father who knows. Why would the Father know? Because he set the time. He set the sequence of events. And there's what? How many years? 6,000 years. They're a period of sequence of time. Time. And it is the creator of heaven and earth who has set that time. Each one of those times are called daughter. Hebrew word for generation. All right? And within this, we will see some more. He says now, verse 37, but as the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, there were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and so on and so forth. So, now, with this in mind, keep this part in mind, we'll reach there farther. But just keep this idea that don't think of time period in the realm of human thinking. The Bible talks about it, right? Peter told us, Psalms tells us, 7,000 years. One day is like, all right? So God looks at, quote, one day as a period of time. Something happens in that period of time, all right? And he's going to carry it out, his will. Everything that has ever happened, it is because he has set it in a time slot. All right? Sometimes we think it just happens, you know. Okay, man has sinned and transgressed. God has to intervene now. He has to upset the entire time cycle. He's got to clean over here. He's got to reestablish his time. He's got to redo it all over again and call the restitution of all things. What? You know, the restitution of all things has not yet come yet. It's a period of time. How long does it last?
1,000 years.
Every generation, if I can say this, has a period of restoration. Noah. Period of restoration. What took place? Restored back to, you can say it, to what was. What? That which was righteous. And just and holy and good. So there's a cycle going. All right. Now, do my very best to get this underway. Let's go on now to Genesis chapter 7. That was the first verse, which we'll go back to. But I want to go into some of the controversies that are taking place here. I don't want to last too long, these controversies, but I do want you to hear it. And every clean beast that thou shalt take unto thee by sevens, and the male and female, and the beast that was not unclean unto by two, male and female. And of course, same thing for the fowl. Now, that's really odd wording. In Hebrew, it says seven, seven. And there are big controversy within the Jewish scholars that there are basically two different reports, two different accounts. Because one account records only two. And the other records accounts of seven and two. Right? And so there's a big controversy. And even in the Christian world, they haven't quite figured out how many, what was in the ark. Right? I mean, when you were growing up as a kid and a little kid, when I was seeing the first time I saw a picture of ark, guess what I saw it? Big, huge draft net sticking out there. Big, fat elephant sitting there. You know, a little tiny boat, and there Moses and Smiley's face. You know, that's what I saw as a little kid, right? Did you see those stupid little things? Okay, and it's funny. You look back on it because you're an adult now, and you say, there's no way that a draft get his head out that thing. I mean, the thing was so big, the neck of the giraffe couldn't reach the ceiling. That's how big that was. Okay. We'll get to that in size in a minute. One of the translations have it, and it says, of all of the clean beasts thou shalt take to thee seven pairs, a male and a female. So now we have, of all the clean animals, there are really seven pairs. Okay. Now all of a sudden, when we look at this volume, the clean outnumber the unclean. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
The clean outnumber.
Good.
Now, well, we'll get to the word about clean and unclean in a minute. It's true, it has to do with the book of Leviticus, but there's something there which those authors knew what when they said in the book of Leviticus, I raise these animals up. I'm elevating these animals up to be clean. Only God can state what is clean and what is not clean. Okay? Yes.
It's evident who he wants to multiply more, you know.
And now stop and think. As the days of Noah were, so shall be the Son of Man.
The ungodly multiply.
What's happening here? Who was delivered out of death?
Noah and his family.
More of the clean than the unclean. But the unclean still came and still survived. All right, now, what happened to Peter? The only unclean thing in the... What does that do? Oh, don't call that which is...
Which the Lord has called clean.
Yes. See, now we have to learn what the Word of God says. Now, when you look at the book of Revelations, what do you see? Massive destruction, just like the flood. Horrible destruction. But, what happens when it's over with?
One of the unclean will still be alive.
Restoration.
The ones that are clean are ruling with the Messiah. And they do it for 1,000 years. The clean will outnumber the unclean when the kingdom of God is established. Just like it was with Noah's time. Now, unlike Noah's time, that period of age is to last 1,000 years, right? and a period of age, all of that which is, remains unclean will be removed and will not be where the eternal creator of heaven and earth comes down and meets with them. So there's a prophecy here involved. Yes.
Would that, when he says, on that day, would that be 1,000 years as a day?
Well, that day when it begins, the starts of the, that period of age. Okay. Right. That day means the beginning of that age is going to begin at that point in time. But you have to keep in mind a time, when we look at what the time as damn as Moses was, what was bad with Moses before Moses was delivered? Yes.
Couldn't it be the fact that you have a whole lot more clean and then you have unclean stuff in there be functional? Because if he would have wiped out everything that was unclean, well, there you go. You'd have a whole tons of kinds that were just completely...
We also know by the prophecies of Isaiah, the unclean animals become what?
Clean. Well, he would have said they were all clean.
They become like the lamb. There still are a lion as a lion, but guess what? He eats grass and straw like a lion, like a lamb. Well, those are all spiritual concepts to understand what's going to take place. For that which is, he created in the very beginning, will be restored to his glory and his choice. All right? We look at that book of Isaiah, he talks about that. It's only the unclean animals that are changed, because the clean animals are already clean. All right, yes?
Yeah, Richard, up to that point, though, humans have been eating, they were vegetarians, right?
Oh, yeah, because physical food. I understand that point. But here we have where God, in advance,
has determined.
How would Moses know it was clean and unclean?
Noah told Noah
at the end.
Well, now, if you were physically Noah, we'll get there. If you're physically Noah, and these animals are coming in. Okay, here's a snake, and there's a snake, 2x2. Here's a deer, and here's a deer. Here's a deer, and here's a deer. Those must be the clean ones. Logical conclusion, but I don't think Noah was that dumb, to tell you the truth, but logical conclusion, he would have had to do that. Now, because it says there, listen very carefully, we'll move here real rapidly. We'll talk about the 40 days in a minute. Verse 9, very clever word. Read verse 9. There went in two and two unto Moses... Into the ark. Okay, now, why did they have to go to Moses first? Noah first. Why didn't they just go in the ark? Why did they have to be in front of Noah first? So Noah would know precisely the count. Know precisely what and where goes what. Noah was not a dumb man. Very intelligent man. After all, he was 600 years old this time. He knows more than I did, and I'm not that old. You know, when you're old like that, you learn an awful lot of stuff. You learn a lot, yes. Great memory. And so, you know, you look back at these guys, you know, they were well-educated. Even if they were self-educated, they're still educated. But it's very fascinating that we have now the seven... Pairs, yes. There were seven pairs of seven clean animals. Because it's going to tell us something. When he establishes the new world after the flood, it's going to predominantly be what? Oh, clean animals. Clean compared to unclean. Yes, it has to do with eating. We don't worry about that yet. He tells Noah, real quickly, now you may eat the clean animals. We won't go there today. But just bear it, it's very fascinating how they outnumbered. And we're going to go, I'm going to try to get this thing. That's actually going pretty good today, to be honest truth. I want to move on rapidly. to verse 17. Verse 17 here, Genesis chapter 7, verse 17. That's 40 days. Why 40?
Why 7?
Why 40? Why not 30? Why not 70? Why not 10? Why 40?
Isn't that considered a time of purification?
Okay, it's a time, correct. And it's a age. It is a period of time that does something. This period of time will do something. For 40 days, what was happening?
Rain.
I'm sorry, what?
Rain.
The rods are increasing.
I'm sorry,
what? Okay, so we got all this thing.
Noah,
I want you to.
Shut up with God in the ark.
I'm sorry, what?
Noah was shut up with God in the ark.
We're going to get. I want you to focus in, if you can, on Noah. Okay, what was happening to Noah? What was happening to his three sons? What was happening to his three daughter-in-laws? What was happening to his wife?
They were watching everyone they know die.
They were grieving.
40 days does something. Now, where else does 40 days come into your head real quickly?
Moses at the mountain.
Jesus, 40 days. Moses, 40 days. What else comes into your mind of 40 days? Wilderness, 40 days.
40 years.
40 years, rather, of the wilderness, right?
Was Pentecost 40 days after?
50.
40 days in the book of Acts. Precisely 40 days in the book of Acts. When something had come to a completion. Okay. Every time 40 is referred to, something has come to a completion, an end. It doesn't continue from that point on. Now, what happened in that 40-year period of time?
When they wandered,
what happened in that 40 years of period of time?
Previous generation died off.
They died off. That was their generation. That was that period of time in which they died off. What were they supposed to do? He says, I put you 40 days in there to test you out and try you to see whether or not you would do what?
Obey.
Hear and what I say, correct, and obey. And guess what happened?
They
failed. Did Noah fail? Was it a test?
Yes.
Definitely a test. Very difficult test for him and his sons and his daughter-in-laws and his wife. And they not just endured, because that's not the word for 40 days meaning you endure. You have reached the concluded part. It is now completed. And it will not recycle. It will recycle in somebody else's life, perhaps, for a period of time. We have to have this by knowing what 40 is, and it has to attest it. Asking yourself in your mind, when I have funny, kind of funny, because I myself, personally, the minute, I've been now within over 40 years in walking in this direction. When I reached that 40th year, unknowingly, wow, there was a conclusion. You know what the conclusion was? What?
A new beginning after the conclusion.
It's the only way to go. It's the right way.
Okay. and let me know I am established. I am established. My foundation took 40 years for me to become solid. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not everybody has to go through 40 years. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying from the period of time, my personal life, I noticed there was a significant difference. I couldn't nail it right away. But soon after 40th year, I said, you know, nothing, absolutely nothing is going to push me over. Nothing's going to penetrate my thinking that is contrary. Nothing is going to alter what I do. My wife can't even do it. And guess what? I can't do it to her either. She's 40. Yes.
At the end of 40 years, the trials changed.
Growth change. Growth begins. You are able to endure anything that comes before you, because you know that you have been established. And what happened to ancient Israel, when they finally died out, what took place? Growth. They went into the promised land and they began to establish and they began to grow and become strong. 40 years is very important. Now, what happened for Moses up there for 40 days? What happened? He came back down.
His
face shone bright and powerful. What was it? Revelation of? The glory of the Creator of heaven and earth. You understand what I'm saying? So now let's go on with that 40. Keep that part in mind. Because I want to go to, let's go to place, a couple places in the New Testament here. Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse 2. We only know this. You don't have to turn there. There's someplace else I want you to turn first. When he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. Now that means the Messiah did something. What would he did? It was completed. Came to a completion. 40 days and 40 nights without water, or food rather. I don't know if he had water or not, it makes no difference, but for fear of that, that's a long period of time. And it said he was hungry. And now in Acts, we already read about this, Acts, the 1st chapter, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after his passion, for many infallible proofs, even being seen for them for 40 days. He was not to continue to being seen until Pentecost. It would have been out of the entire picture. I'll get to that in a minute. If he had existed or showed himself all the way to Pentecost, prophecy would not come about. Right? Had an age period, a period of time. That 40 days that he was seen was for a period of what? Completion. All right. Keep that in mind. I want you to go to a very unusual place. Luke chapter 8. Luke's the only one that records it this way. Found it very fascinating. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Luke 8, 14. And all you people who got Greek, you're going to look up the Greek, right? Okay. That's okay. It says here, and that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares of the riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. It's a really odd statement, isn't it? Well, there's another translation. The jerk probably says what?
Maturity.
Okay. First, one of the translations said, and that which fell in the thorns, these are they who have heard, going forth through anxieties and riches and pleasures of life, are choked off and bear no completion. Okay. So those who are fallen amongst the thorns and the thistles, and the cares of this world are in something. They're in a period of time, like ancient Israel was, the cares of this world. Now, what was the issue that the Israelites had with Moses? Want to go back to Egypt where there's nice food, good things to eat, they care about this world, they care about themselves, they care about the world, they care about the wonderful things that once there was Egypt. Those are the cares of the world, that's thorns and thistles and briars. And guess what happened? They didn't make it, did they? Same thing about this parable. No completion. You didn't complete. You will not be there. So may people pay attention to if you are concerned about the care of this world, politically or otherwise. It is God who sets the time. Okay, let's go back to Genesis chapter 7. I'm almost finished here. Oh, I won't go there. Let's go to verse 20. Chapter 7, verse 20. Since I'm a person who kind of looks at things, this is just interesting to me. Verse 20, what does it say?
My waters grew strong, 15 cubits upward, and the mountains covered.
What did he do? Go out and get a major sick? Oh, get into 15 cubits? You think he had a major sick out there? He was locked inside. How would he know? How would you know? How was it recorded? Why is it recorded as 15 cubics?
He marked 20.
What does it say? 15 cubics and it lifted. So it took 15 cubics of water before that ark lifted up off the ground. How high was the ark? 30 cubics. So one half of the ark was in the water. So you can tell how much, there's a lot of weight in there, right? A massive amount of weight to have 15 feet or 15 cubics of it still in the water.
Like an oil tanker.
Like an oil tanker. So when we think about the Noah's Ark, it was really big for half of it still be in the water when it finally lifted up. Doesn't say the mountains were 15 feet just as they were covered. Hills are just covered. All we know is it took 15 feet for that ark to lift up off the ground. 15 cubic feet. Of. That's amazing.
Can you translate that into how many feet it is?
That's 45 feet. It's 15 cubits. About.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So
that,
you three times.
That ark
was
almost 100 feet high.
So you're talking about 45 feet of water.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it came suddenly, quick, and fast. It's a very fascinating word in Hebrew. We won't go through there, but I think it's very funny. All right, I brought that out because I thought that was very fascinating to realize something was very interesting. Now I want to go to the 23rd chapter, 23rd verse of Genesis, of Genesis chapter 7. I want you to keep in mind, you know, because there's something that's very clear in the Hebrew, and we have to know what the Messiah said, as the days of Noah, so shall be. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the earth, both man and cattle and creeping things, the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Those who remained. All right. Matthew, we don't have to go back there again. I'll just read it. So as the days of Noah will, so will be the coming of the man. We got that down, right? Verse 39 of Matthew 24. And knew not until the flood came and did what? Took them all away. Killed them. All right. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken away as the day of the flood. and one left. The two grind in the middle. One will be taken as the days of Noah, the flood, and the other left. Watch you therefore. For you know not when your Lord or your Lord's coming. For ye may be taken away.
Well, I want to be left behind.
You want to be left behind. You want to be where Noah is at. All right. So if you're looking at this thing, you know, and I know my wife and I just talked about this, was it today or yesterday? About the rapture, which is predominant in almost every Protestant church. And even non-denominational Protestant churches. And it's very powerful. But, it, you know, there it is. We have evidence. So when you look at the evidence, you find something. All right, now I want to go back to, just real quick, Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. Because I said I was going to clarify this time. You remember this 40 days, the days of test and trial. Now another thing is going to show up. Remember I told you he couldn't go to 50 days because it would not fulfill prophecy. All right? It says here, and Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for what he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. What does he mean? All right. In Isaiah 60, 46, verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I, El, and there is none else, I, Elohim, and there is none like me, declared, Dean, the end from the beginning. And from ancient times that are not yet come, for my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. Now, some people have this concept that it was took 120 years for the ark to be built. Biblically, it was 100, not 120. So God wasn't talking about that age period. Okay. There's something very interesting about the 120. It's a prophetic word, prophetic statement, prophetic process. Can't go through it all today. But remember, I still told you that an age is what? A period of time. All right. We talked about the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 thousand year period. Or each one having its own period. Right? All right, so it looks like it's kind of unusual. What do you have? Three periods. Three periods of time.
4 years.
Now, where does that go? You know what a jubilee is? Right. What does that word jubilee mean?
Release.
No. Horn.
Horn.
Blowing the silver horn. Jubilee means horn. Not the shofar. The horn. Now, when the Apostle Paul says on the last trump, he's not talking about the shofar. He's talking about the last period when the ages come to a completion. And the last trump, when it is sounded, what takes place? The dead in Christ rise, and those who are alive with him are changed. Right? All right. Divide that by 5, you got 60. I'm sorry. Divide it by 6, you get 50. 50 distinct jubilee years. 50 years, 50 years, 50 years. Within the realm of the first 1,000, 2,000 years, that's from Adam to Abraham, what did I say? 40 jubilees. 40 jubilees. Periods of completion.
Richard,
isn't it 20?
Yes.
Not 50? 60 goes into... Oh, I'm sorry. What am I trying to do here? 5. It does go in there, 60. No.
Trying to divide it by 3.
What am I trying to divide it by?
3 segments there. You divided it by 3. It's 40.
Divide by 3 and do 40.
Okay.
By 3,
that's
what we're trying 40. To do. Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
40. That's it. 40. All right.
Oh, well.
Well, you know, I make mistakes. Okay, but you understand what I'm saying. The 40 years, right? 40 years of jubilee. 40 years of the horn being blown 40 times. All right. Then we have Abraham. To Yahshua. 40 years, or 40 jubilees, 40 periods of time. And now from Yahshua to
Yeshua.
The end. 6,000 years is in the other 40. 120. 120. In the very beginning, he says, what? What did he say? Yet his days shall be 120. And it says years. Now put it to, if a thousand years like, right, to the Lord, 1,000, all of a sudden that multiplies quickly, doesn't it? You see, the word of the Lord tells you what he's going to do. He told in the very beginning. Way at the very beginning in Noah, he says, this is it. That's as far as man is going to go. Then he will be completed. The completion of man will be completed at the end. You understand what's going on? So when you go into the 40, you start thinking about it. It's not just a number. It has everything to do with. In 50 years, times 120 is 6,000 years. 50 years is the jubilee. And it's amazing how all these numbers come to God. Works with numbers. What I said in the very beginning? Everything is in its generation, its time cycle. God willing, I will try to prove or bring you some evidence from which you will find when you read in both the Torah and you read in the prophets and you hear what's in the New Testament. There is no way that you can get a precise number that both King Solomon said, which is impossibility mathematically to be reached, because there's a longer span of time, and the time when Abraham, there was 435 years, they said, you know, but there's another number that's involved within that. And we say, well, wait, was it 400 years, or was it 435 years? There's contradiction in those words, aren't there? One of these days, I hope the will of God, I'll clarify that for you. It is an act of, and it is the timing of, and it's the age, or it's the generation period of time that God has set in motion. And when he does, it will be done. I find that the book of... It all starts, by the way, the book of Genesis. Surprisingly, right? Because see, the 120 in Noah's time makes no sense. Because men lived longer. How long did Shem live? He lived a lot longer than 120 years. Abraham lived a lot longer than 120 years. Moses lived to 120, but after him, there wasn't anybody else after him. But, you know, so it was not referring to, nor does it refer to the age 70 being a generation. It just means they are going to give that much time, and that's the accounted number he is now counting on you. It's a 70. It's a very important word. But to look at these things, and we see there, and the reason why I'm doing this is so we can understand, as the days of Noah, so it will be. Wow. We went through last week, and we kind of saw it very evident, right? And I want you to pay attention, because it's still in the days, or as the days of Noah. And we are living in it. Personally speaking, I don't see it changing. I don't see there's going to be a change or a lot. There's going to be a different kind of famine. Different kind of trial. It's going to be quite different than it was ever recorded, because it so says so. What does it say there in Matthew 24? The tribulation will be so great. None has ever been before it, and none will be like it afterwards. Mm-hmm. The greatest one is yet to come. What do we do about it in our lives? I think we need to try our very best, be humble, respectful, honorable, and listen to every word. Even though we don't get the message yet, listen to every word. And God will let us know. I believe that very strongly. Thousands and thousands of Christians are beginning to understand thousands of things, not just a few. Thousands of things. And they are changing. They have a long ways to go, as some of you in this room have a long ways to go, and I have a long ways to go, to where God is going to take us to that point. And when God begins a work within each one of us, he is going to complete it.
Amen.
And his work is pure. His work is holy. His work is upright. He will finish his task. Even though we may look at each other and say, boy, Ellie, he's not working very good on you. It's not my business, right? It is the creator of heaven who said, I am working. I'm going to create what is holy and just and good in her. And I'm going to create what's just and holy and good in you. And when it's all over with, you will know it is me. And you know that I am the one. So we start looking at each other's faults. And that's what we got to stop doing, people. This is my message for today. Stop finding fault. Quit it. Knock it off with anybody. Because that creator knows exactly what he's doing. He's got his timing down so perfect. In our lives, in the life of mankind, all the history of mankind from the very beginning, he's got it in precise manner and order. He is not the author of confusion.